One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Connection, opportunity, possibility. It's what we all want. Spectrum has built a world where anything is possible, with products and services designed to work better together for a seamless connectivity experience. A connection to family and friends, a connection to education, and a connection to new opportunities. So there's no limit to how big we can dream. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
My practice is the therapy and wellness.
Hello.
The thing about it is I want to be, like, I'm a Detroit girl. I'm myself. I talk how I talk. Yeah. So I really wanted to be representative for people, for girls like me to find me.
What makes a relationship healthy and what makes it very unhealthy, very red flag-ish?
How does someone show up for a person that has bipolar or depression? Should they even stick around? Is it worth trying to figure out how to be there for that person? If somebody put their hands on a person one time, should they stay? Should they go?
You find somebody and you love them, that's amazing. But that's not the only person in the world you're going to be compatible with. Mm-hmm.
There's a song I really can relate to.
What is it?
It goes, don't save her.
She don't want to be saved.
Whole lot of gay shit.
Whole lot of gay.
Gay, 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 gay.
I like that.
Hey, what's going on? It's Boss Britt the Most Lit.
What's up? It's your girl DJ Excel.
And this is
the No Homo Show.
Where everything we talk about
is homo as f***.
Gay, 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 gay. Welcome back, everybody, man. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, comment, turn your post notifications on. Know what time it is.
We locked in 2025.
This okay.
2025.
It's a new
okay?
year.
Okay. Shout out to everybody tuned in to our Patreon and our podcast, the listeners, you know what I mean? But Patreon, make sure y'all go subscribe. We drop new content, behind the scenes, exclusive stuff that you will only see on Patreon.
Yeah, that's a fact. Make sure I get y'all merch. You feel me? We got them, you know what I'm saying? I prefer Cooch still going up. Okay. You feel me? If you're part of Patreon, you might get a free one. You never know. So you need to go over there, like she said, to that Patreon community and run it up with us over there.
Let's
be
go.
Having a ball over there, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we getting some therapy today.
Woo!
And we're going to need it to start off this year in 2025 because I'm trying to be on a...
Okay.
Trying to level up.
Okay. And also, I feel like everybody needs a little guidance.
Hell just, yeah.
Especially about relationships and stuff. So let's go.
All right, y'all. So today's guest who's coming to talk about a whole lot of gay shit with us is Miss Tierra Coach, aka the therapist. Okay. She is a black therapist originally from Detroit who empowers women to reclaim their lives by healing from relational and intergenerational trauma. Specializing. Woo, hold on.
You do a lot.
Specializing in managing anxiety, assertive communication, and boundary setting, she provides tools for self-healing and transformation. Her mission is clear: to help women get unfucked, breaking cycles, building confidence, and fostering lasting emotional freedom. The Unfucked Therapist is in the building with us, y'all. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up, girl? We about to get some therapy today.
I think everybody need a little bit of...
Hell yeah.
Even if, like, I think people think, like, therapy is only, like, when you're down bad. But I think we could all just be better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but before we get into it, we got to loosen it up. You know what I mean? I know we have... We like we feel like we about to be in a therapy session. We got that.
Bitches be traumatized. I'm traumatized. I'm bitches. All right, I'm bitches.
The tissue over here, okay. But before we get started, we start with a game called Skittles and Riddles. All right. Okay. There's this a big Skittle bag over there.
Mm-hmm. Those are real Skittles.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want some Skittles, because people said they was tired of us not having real Skittles, so. Those are real. Those
okay,
are...
I feel the Easter eggs.
Okay.
Ah, right. You feel the Skittles.
The Skittles, all right? We're on a budget here. We, okay. So you will pull out a riddle. It's going to be a gay riddle if we get it wrong. Matter of fact, if you get it wrong.
If we all get it wrong.
Yeah, all right. All
right. Right.
Therapist,
yeah. Yeah. Whatever she say, go. I trust her word.
We all got to take a shot.
What do y'all call a lesbian cock block? Lesbian cock block.
A lesbian cock block. That's what I would call it. Shit, a lesbian cock block.
Yeah, a coochie block?
A coochie block? Yeah, because it can't be cock.
Oh.
It gotta be coochie.
A lesbian cock block as in like what? Like a...
Like you're being a cock blocker. Like you're getting
You're being a coochie blocker because you're not blocking cock.
Like you're blocking what I'm trying to holler at.
It seems too simple because it's a riddle, but I'm going to go with coochie blocker.
A tampon.
That's actually really good.
You better not call nobody no tampon. This better not be the day of answer. Y'all out here calling people tampons. I'm talking about you a coochie blocker.
Yeah, now I can't unsee the... Well, not the tampon. The coochie block. What else? Cop blocker, coochie blocker. I mean, that seemed pretty... What number was it again?
83.
Although it seems so simple and obvious.
It's dumb.
I don't get it, y'all.
What is it?
A beaver dam.
No. We don't even call our coochies beavers.
Oh, they calling our coochie a beaver?
Yes, that's a...
Oh, that's an 80s thing?
That's a YT thing.
Oh, see, I never... I can't relate.
Did anybody ever call my coochie a beaver?
Please don't call my coochie
a beaver. Hold on, so they call coochie a beaver?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's wild. So that kind of makes sense then, knowing what beaver...
Beaver dam.
Beaver dam? Did
I make sense? Mean, yeah, because if you think about a dam, they put the wood up, you block. Yeah, that was way too, like, that was over my head.
Beaver Girl, dam. That was over all of our head. I never even knew they called it beaver, so at least you just clarified that.
I'm telling
that.
You, we learn new stuff up here every day.
Yeah. Okay, so that means we
just called beavers.
Not mine. Oh, hell
mine.
I'm going on, like, I want some beaver today. I want some beaver. You gonna eat my beaver?
That's not sexy.
Right? Nothing about it sexy. I'm weak.
All right, well, we gotta take our shot because we got wrong. Salute.
All right.
Make sure y'all get y'all shot glasses on our website and on
Wait, let me make sure I'm showing the right side.
Yeah. Salute.
Woo!
I love a therapist who drinks, okay? I love anybody with a profession.
If I'm off duty, I'm off duty.
Not on duty.
But if you're a therapist and you don't drink, you're not doing your job right. Because these people stress you out. You need a drink after
work. At least
work.
A little wine, you know? Because I know they be trauma.
You don't need to be drunker. You just need to look. I don't know. I think I really got that age that I just need. I don't want to like sometimes at home, I'll be like, yeah, if I just had like a cup of wine or champagne or something. When they really say, like, take the edge off, am I old?
I don't know, but maybe I should get on
She's
wine.
She's like, yeah.
I want to get to my wine stage.
I really like champagne.
Like champagne.
And my dad got me, like, a champagne cooler, like a refrigerator, so it's amazing. Yeah.
All right, well, welcome to the show officially. Good job with the riddle. You know what I'm saying? So next up, we're going to get into your coming out story.
Okay.
So please let us know who, what, when, where, how was it for you coming up out that closet?
My coming out, like, I'm not even gay. I'm an ally.
Wait a minute!
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, get the fuck out of here! I'm playing.
No, because...
I saw it in your bio.
Yeah, no, because even if you was an ally, I would be, like, I would still want to talk to you. But literally seen...
That's funny.
I literally seen footage of you saying, I'm not an ally, so now I'm thinking, did I hear it wrong? Like, okay. But you're actually lesbian.
My coming out story kind of boring. It was very easy for me. Like, I grew up in a queer household. So my mom at the time was queer. She was bi. She had a girlfriend.
Oh.
So I've been gay forever. Like, I always liked girls, but I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. But then growing up in a queer household, like, mom would have, like friends over all the time. She had girlfriends. So it was very normal for me. Mm-hmm. I came out in 9th grade. It was the first time I saw a girl that was a stud that was my age. I was like, that's going to be my girlfriend.
Period. I want that stud.
Like, I couldn't put my finger on it.
Because I always liked girls. Like, back in the day, humping, crushes on friends, all of those things.
Love a little hump.
Yeah, so as soon as I saw a stud my age, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm a femme. That's a stud. We're supposed to be together. She had a girlfriend. Did not care. Period. I had a boyfriend.
Did not care.
Did not care. So, actually, the it's so toxic because her name was Eric and my boyfriend name was... No, her name was Erica and my boyfriend name was Eric.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit.
And, like, I kept that going for a little bit. Yeah. So, I just was calling him E.
True cheater. Not great.
Just awful.
Player, player.
So, by coming out of stories, my mom had a girlfriend and she would take me to... my mom's girlfriend knew, but my mom didn't know. She would take me to, like, the AAU games because I would want to see the girls playing basketball. And then, eventually, my mom was like, you always go to that girl house and you never... I never met her before. Is that your girlfriend? So, I'm assuming her girlfriend snitched. I was like, yeah, that's my girlfriend. And then she took us go-kart racing and the rest was history.
That's
so it was very, she had dealt with all the hard shit with my family. So when I came out, it was just like,
that's
whatever.
How I felt. Well, my little sister is gay too, but I felt like I dealt with all the like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Now she got it easy. She's wearing tuxes, homecoming like, and
you,
shit.
You cross, you can walk, okay?
Yeah. My little sister is gay too. She never even told us. She just brought a girlfriend home. Like, hey, this is my girlfriend. We're like, okay.
Well, because
she figured the whole family already. Fruity as hell. Might as well just.
Fruity's crazy.
Regular, fruity is childish.
You know what? But growing up in like a queer household, gotta be like, kind of cool.
Different.
It was.
Well, like
it was
more cool. Accepting because we all dealt, a lot of us dealt with like coming up having to tell our parents and get them to understand. And
yeah, like for me, my mom was like super strict when I like boys. Like I couldn't talk on the phone. I couldn't do anything. I remember one time.
Just cock blocking.
Yes. I remember one time like I was on the phone with my boyfriend. My mama came home and I hung up and the nigga called back. And I got like the worst whipping. But then after I was gay, like I was at the gay club at 14. Like I was living my best life. It was my girlfriend was spending the night. So
yeah.
I mean, maybe she was worried about pregnancy, but because other than that, I was like good to go.
Yeah.
I think about it too. In high school, like my girl stood the night too. And I'm thinking like.
Stood the night too. Yeah.
It like. If it was a dude, that's never happened.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. Yeah.
Now, you said your mom used to be, so she's no longer...
She'd be dating guys. Right now, she not dating anybody.
Okay.
She's a wonderful person if anybody's looking for a partner.
I'm
love
to
get her married
too.
Off, but yeah. And she had way better taste than women, than men. Sorry, mom, you know this is true. You see this?
It'd be like that. I mean, because women just are better than men.
Well, yeah, because my mom can't find no dude that's worth anything. I'm like, mom,
come on.
I mean,
over
what
here.
Do you gotta lose? But she do not
at all.
She don't got a gay percent in her because she's like, hell no. But I'm like, yo, these guys is, I don't know. Yeah. I don't get it. But I'm not bashing dudes. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But I would ask you, do you, because the general people might say this, is that. That influenced you?
Absolutely not. So I saw this post recently where this, it was a gay boy that made the post and he was like, I've been watching heterosexual couples my whole life and it never influenced me.
Hello?
It's not a thing. I'm not going to see something and it's going to make me sexually attracted to the same sex. It's just, it's not a thing.
Right.
And then also we always skip over the fact that this has existed from the beginning of time. Any civilization, anything like in Africa, in England, wherever, people been gay forever.
Yeah. I think it's crazy that people really do that. And it's really like a mental thing on their side because like, like 85% of us grew up watching, you know, our parents or you know what I'm saying? And it's just really not a thing.
I ain't never seen no crack and want to do crack.
Exactly.
All right. I ain't never looked at no crackhead. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a motherfucking crackhead. Motherfuckers look like they having fun today. They ain't got no worries. They just out here. I ain't never want to do no crack.
Yeah, that's crazy.
See, my mom just made me feel like it was okay to be myself. Right. But it didn't make me feel like I needed to be something that I wasn't.
I
got
that.
A brother. He's straight. He not, you know, he not sucking dick because he was around. We grew up in a queer household.
You're not sucking dick, are you? Nah. Nah, that's a fact. So. That's a fact.
That's a good point.
Hold up. I know y'all are enjoying the episode right now, but we want to talk a little more about shopstarship.com.
Yes, y'all. Listen, we always talking about Starship. And we're going to keep talking about Starship. Why? Because you should go there like yesterday, okay? Whether you got a long-term relationship, whether you got a sneaky link, even if you just need personal needs.
Listen, I encourage y'all to go to the website because you're going to get the top of the top adult toys, all right? You need to add something new to that relationship, baby.
I'm telling you, sis.
Or, you know, just surprise your girl real quick.
Okay.
You know, so go to shopstarship.com right now.
Mm-hmm. You get 15% off with our code NOHOMOSHOW. 15% off NOHOMO.
Get the Angelry special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
Hope y'all have a good night. Ow.
All right, so let's start with your profession real quick, because first of all, I don't think I know too many, personally, I don't know too many black therapists. So shout out to you first and foremost, okay? So how did you become a therapist? Like, what made you want to become a therapist? And then what drew you into your particular practice? And if you could let the people know, like, what it is that your particular practice is.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't know that many because it's only 4% of therapists are black.
Wow.
So that's a thing. And then I never wanted to be a therapist. I wanted to be a social worker. My background is in social work.
I got a degree in social work.
Yeah, so I grew up in a house of service. My mom always like, any one of our friends, anybody needed a house, whatever, they always live with us. She always doing shit for people. So I grew up with like wanting to help people. So that was my thing. I started in public education. So I wanted to be like in special education and social work. Mm-hmm. Then I moved here and I couldn't get a job. I never thought I wanted to be a therapist. Wow. And the only job I can get was a therapist. And I'm like, oh, I like this. And I was working with families and mostly working with kids. And then I went into private practice and it just went from there. My practice is the Unfuck Therapy and Wellness.
Hello.
The thing about it is I want to be like, I'm a Detroit girl. I'm myself. I talk how I talk. Yeah. So I really wanted to be representative for people, for girls like me to find me. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is. I'm from Detroit. I'm specialized in trauma, but also hood PTSD, just because I grew up in a neighborhood where a lot of times we don't really recognize how trauma has affected us from our environment.
For real.
We don't even realize we experienced trauma.
No, for real.
That's so true.
I mean, this is a sidebar, but I remember I was at a bar and I was talking to this guy and he asked me what I did and I told him. He was like, oh no, I didn't. I never experienced any trauma. Then he proceeded to tell me that like he was physically abused, verbally abused, parents were on drugs, all of these things. I'm like, bro, that's trauma. Right, but people, things become so normalized that you don't even recognize what so trauma true. Is.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I was just telling my sister, like, yo, like how many people we were just in high, like when we were in high school that we known died while we were freaking 14, 15 years old.
Recipe
like some
shirts.
People don't know anybody that died but their grandparents.
That's absolutely. Crazy.
And we know so many. So like,
I know so many people that didn't make it to 20, didn't make it to 30. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is it keeps happening to the point where you get desensitized, where you still care. It's like, oh, damn, that's fucked up. But you don't grieve the way you normally would because you get used to it. And that's trauma.
Yes. I can relate to that. You become like kind of numb to it.
Yeah.
Because it happens so often. Because you don't even get the time to grieve. It's like, damn, it literally, I was in my city and like people was passing away like every single month. So it's like, damn. I got to get another t-shirt. Got to get another bandana. Like, that shit became, like, a norm to us. And like you said, like, that's trauma.
Yeah. I didn't realize, like, I remember I was living here and I was talking to this girl. She was from the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And we were somewhere and it was, like, a shootout. And I was chilling and she was so traumatized. And I'm like, oh, girl, like, this is normal. She's like, no, it's not.
Right. I done been in hella shootouts thinking that shit was cute. Like, get home, Brad. Like, girl, did you see us rolling on the ground? Like, that's not cute.
I don't
cute.
Even know why you're saying that because we literally was at a venue where we was throwing an event, but there was an after party. And the crazy thing is my wife or sister don't come out that often, but they happen to come out that night. And because of the after hours, you know, like after 3 p.m., I always say it's dangerous because people are drunk when they want to come out to the after hours, right? So they started shooting all around the club. We're behind the desk and my wife and stuff is like shaking, right? And I kind of like, been in crazy situations, although that was very scary. But Britt's car had a bullet wound. A bullet hole in it and everything. And it's crazy because that's like...
If I was outside, I could have got shot. Like the security guard that was working the event, he definitely got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a crazy night. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but then like, you just move on.
Yeah.
We do.
We was right back at the same club the next week. Swear
it, it wasn't our party.
Did y'all
though.
Have bulletproof vests under y'all t-shirts? Or
no.
I don't even think we...
We ain't do nothing.
And I rode around with that bulletproof
strap. Like, y'all just was just in there. Just
right because it wasn't our party, like... And it,
yeah, the after hours wasn't our party. Yeah,
it was just that, like, we count the money at the end. So, like, the transition. But it was crazy because, like, we're literally behind the... I'm talking about, like, it was probably, like, six people in the office. And we're all on the floor trying to get behind the desk. It's just crazy. And literally, like, this doesn't get addressed or nothing. Like, the next week, we're in there.
I was somewhere being a thought, so...
Because your car was there. You wasn't there.
Yeah, I was... I was trying to get fucked.
So your car was traumatized and you was somewhere else.
She was driving around that bullet hole for a little minute.
For a very long time, okay?
That's crazy.
But I'm so intrigued to know about how did you get your name, the Unfucked Therapist? How did you get your name? How did you come up with that?
So originally, my last name is Couch. I originally wanted something to do with couch, but everything was already taken and really expensive. So it took me a long time to think about it. And this is going to be like TMI, but like I was in Mexico and I was just sitting on the toilet and I was like, Unfuck Therapist. Yeah. It just came out of nowhere.
That's
and
when
it
the
just
best
made
ideas
sense.
Come when you're in a toilet, when you're in the shower. Yeah. It just kind of comes to your head.
You know, I love that because sometimes, especially like our culture, you know, Black Spanish people, a lot of us don't go to therapy because we feel like we don't got nobody to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And when you find somebody that like, yo, I could talk to you kind of my language and I don't got to change my voice around or anything. And you kind of even just understand where I come from, it makes a big difference. And just even having that name makes you feel comfortable. Like, I already know there's about to be some real shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, so, it's more relatable.
I think that's important that you make that people feel comfortable. And you're, like you said, it's only 4% of Black therapists out here, which is crazy.
Yeah, like, it's so many different types of Black.
Yeah.
But I want the girls that's my type of Black to be able to find me. So I felt like the name was it differentiated me from other people.
Yeah.
And it means to like get healed.
So like a lot of the things that like fuck us up mentally are not ours. They're based off of our family, society, racism, historical trauma, all of those things. So it's really about finding your authentic voice out of that stuff. Like not what you should be, but like who you actually are.
Yeah. And I kind of like took it and it might be a little off, but like unlearn things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like unfuck, like you unlearning all the fuck shit you done been taught, been raised with that you didn't realize that was messing you up.
Yeah, and it really like comes home for me because it relates to me.
Yeah.
Like I've had to go through the transformation myself. That's why I really believe in therapy because I see people transform all the time. And then also I see myself like who I used to be, who I am now, completely different people.
Mm-hmm. And do you do like couples therapy or is it just like one-on-one?
I just do individual therapy and then I'm going to branch off into group therapy.
Group therapy. Okay, got you.
I'll be at the group therapy. I'm scared to do one-on-one. I'm getting there with a pillow like, God.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I did hear about group therapy, right, for somebody, and it depends, I guess, what you're doing, right? But like somebody just coming in, it's great for them, right? But the people that have been there for a minute, they're being reintroduced to everybody's trauma every time. You know what I mean? So I had somebody that actually experienced that. Like, it was great for them. But now once they're starting to heal and they're empathetic, they're feeling people's pain, they're hearing their pain all over again.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So they had to actually drop out the group therapy. But I think it was great because you had the support, too.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends what type of...
Yeah, it's so complicated. You really have to be mindful, especially when you're putting groups together of where people are in their journey and asking those questions on the front end. Because, you know, group therapy is good for mutual aid because you have people around you that can understand you. But if you've, like, processed that part of you, you want people that are on the same level as you.
Yeah,
so that's really important.
Yeah, that's a fact. So I wanted to take it somewhere, like, before we get into, like, I guess I wanted to talk about, like, relationship stuff. You know what I'm saying?
She's trying to get therapy session in real quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to get...
Yeah, we love free therapy sessions.
Nah, but I just I'm playing. I just feel like everybody either experienced it or in it or trying to get over it.
That's so true.
You know what I'm saying? So, can we start with what makes a relationship healthy and what makes it very unhealthy, very red flag-ish?
Okay. I think what makes a relationship really healthy is first you have to be able to know yourself and be honest with yourself. Because a lot of times, like, we're really just trying to get our needs met. Mm-hmm. And if we don't know what those needs are, then we can be projecting that on somebody else in a really unhealthy way. So being curious about who you are, being honest about who you are, and being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people show up in relationships as their representative. They're trying to show, like, their best self. And it's like, that's not who you are. And it's okay, because you deserve love exactly where you are. But people can't actually love you if they don't know you. Mm-hmm. If you're showing up pretending to be something else.
Mm-hmm. And so some people might say, I can't be vulnerable right away. Like, I done been played so many times. I can't tell you my flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think you got to deserve somebody's trust? I mean, or is it automatically given?
I think so. I'm a very protective person. I'm not somebody to, like, I don't just be like letting people in right away, but it's levels to that. Mm-hmm. I think the person that you need to trust is yourself. So when you meet people and you have conversations and you engage with them, is this somebody that's giving energy where I can trust them to be vulnerable? Mm-hmm. And then also, if I am vulnerable and they fuck up, can I trust myself to take care of myself? Because if you're walking around waiting to find out if you can trust people, then you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities. Yeah. You're going to miss out on an opportunity to be loved, to be supported, because you're waiting for all of these signs that may not come. And they may not come until you actually open up.
And you know, the crazy thing, we talk about this all the time, like in lesbian relationships, a lot of women just jump from relationship to relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I ain't gonna lie, like, I never went, like, some people go like 5 years and stuff. Mm-hmm. I never went that long, you know what I mean? Because I'd rather kick it with a companion, you know? But, like, what you're saying is, like, you really gotta learn yourself. And I think sometimes that's what fucks up a lot of relationships, is people get into those relationships and be like, I need time for myself. They're already in a relationship. Now you're trying to figure out yourself, when, like, really, you could have did that before you jumped into something. Yeah.
I mean, I think relationships are really important, because you do heal in healthy relationships. You learn new patterns. You learn what works for you, what doesn't work for you. But you have to have a healthy relationship with yourself, because if you don't, then you start to bring that shit to your relationship where, like, you need a lot of things, and you're making this person responsible for it, when that's your responsibility.
I love that, because I think we talked about before, is like, you can't, like, your spouse should contribute. I feel like your spouse should contribute to your happiness, but they're not responsible for your happiness.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're down and out, like, you'll put all that weight on your spouse, and now you're just like codependent on them, which starts getting very toxic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what do you think makes, obviously, like, something very toxic, or like, this is not a healthy relationship?
I mean, I'll speak for myself. There have been a lot of relationships I've been in where there's been a lot of self-betrayal, because I'm like, okay, I'm in this place and this person is not in this place. So they need it more than me. They need more grace. They need more things. And the more you show up for people and don't show up for yourself, then it's just not healthy. Mm. So also, the thing that I notice a lot in relationships with, and I don't know a lot about straight relationships to say that it doesn't exist.
But I know, like, what my mama been through, all right?
But there can be a lot of emotional abuse where it's like, somebody's like, I need to know where you are, send me your location, text me, check in, all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, this becomes normalized, but really it's this person that has an attachment issue. Mm-hmm. And then you become the person that is feeding into that attachment instead of them dealing with their own shit and figuring out why they need that much contact. Mm-hmm. Because your person can be away from you and still be your person. But because you're not having eyes on them, then you feel insecure. You feel like something's going on. You feel some anxiety. But that's your thing.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's called object permanence. So like when babies are born, like if their parents leave, they cry because they don't know if they're coming back.
Right.
But some people who've experienced attachment issues, they still have that same thing where I need to see you, I need to talk to you, I need to be in contact with you to feel like we're okay.
Yeah.
And that's their thing. Like, you can be like, hey, I have some anxiety around this, can you give me some grace? But that's not your person. That's not your person's responsibility to figure it out. That's your responsibility. Yeah. We have no like control over the shit that happened to us. Mm-hmm. But once you become an adult, you gotta do some shit. You gotta do something about it.
Yeah,
it's nobody else's responsibility to deal with your trauma.
And I think you know, we said this before. Like everybody says, how much communication is important in a relationship, mm-hmm. right? But what I learned is when I heard that, it gave surface level communication. Like mm-hmm. I don't gotta be with you all the time to know I'm with you, right? But then the real communication is like, hold on, you have attachment issues. Let's figure out mm-hmm. why. And then they're like, damn, do I? Oh, this, like my dad left, my mom left. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the real communication because it's way deeper than you thinking like, I'm not coming back. And a lot of people like manipulate that on that. I just want to make sure you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bro, we've been together 3 years. I ain't getting no car accident.
Right.
Stop with that. Because it's manipulating. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just want to make sure you good. Now you're low-key controlling everything that's going on.
Yeah, and it's levels to that too. Because some people can be so anxious and scary that they do really just want to think something happened to you.
Yeah.
Like I grew up with a very anxious mom. And I remember like... One time I came home late from work and like my whole family and the police there.
Ah, that's crazy.
It's like, girl, it's been an hour and a half.
That's
my phone
wild.
Died.
Not the police as well.
So
it's
like
crazy.
There are people that have that experience and there are people that are just manipulative. They use that to control you.
Yeah. No, that's a fact. Because my mom, oh my God. I'd be like, mom.
My mom to this day.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, I'm 31 years old.
Yeah, but it's not an hour and a half. It's like, yo, if you text me at 4 a.m. like, hey, mm-hmm. did you make it home after the club? Because it is nerve-wracking because I'm driving all the time with people drinking shit. And then, like, I don't text you back the whole next day. She's worried as hell.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Yeah. No, I definitely understand that. But also, there's people like, I need your location to make sure you're good.
Mm-hmm. I have been a person that's had an anxious attachment. Mm-hmm. And it's gone from, like, I would be like, all right, bitch, you need to call me, text me. Like, I need to know what's going on. To being a more secure person and being... able to recognize, like, I feel triggered mm-hmm. because I haven't heard from you. But that has nothing to do with you. It has Correct. Everything to do with my experience. And so let me just chill until I hear from you. Mm-hmm. Hope you're not dead. But I will wait to find out.
I mean, ain't nothing you can do now. Ain't nothing you can do now.
I can't do nothing. If you're dead, I can't do nothing about it. But wait, here.
How did you get over that? Or somebody that's watching this and realizing, like, damn, it's deeper. Like, how do you get over that?
I always say be curious about yourself and how you experience things.
Yeah.
So all of the shit that we do is something that we learn through, like, I needed this. So when people are like really aggressive, verbally, physically, whatever, we learn those things at a time that we needed those things mm-hmm. and we may not need them anymore. So it's like, why am I reacting like this? Really asking yourself questions. What do I actually need right now? Mm-hmm. What am I actually trying to communicate? Because a lot of times it's not what we think and we often put it on other people.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just like, I need to know that I'm important whether I see you or I don't see you.
Like, just if you sent me a text and then go 10 hours without showing me that I even crossed your mind, that would help.
And
but that's that
exactly.
communication.
And what I say now is like, hey, like, you're your own person, do your own thing, but I like communication on the front end. So if you're going to be doing that, just let me know so then I don't have to worry about you.
Right.
And you'll find people that can do that for you. And then there are people that can't do that for you. And that was just not your people.
That's not your person.
Yeah.
Ain't about to have you pacing around the house for no reason. Motherfucker, either call me or not. So with relationships, and you made a good point earlier because you were saying like you never been in a straight relationship. So I used to say like the community seems like we have a lot of trauma. But maybe it's just everybody. Maybe it's just black people. Maybe it's, I know white people that got some trauma that I can relate to as well. So it's not just like a color, a gender, a sexual preference. But within the community, I have noticed a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I have dealt with in the past, and people can relate to this, are dating people who have bipolar disorder
mm-hmm.
or depression. How does someone show up for a person that has bipolar or depression? Should they even stick around? Is it worth trying to figure out how to be there for that person?
Look, y'all just missed out on another Patreon exclusive.
Man, are y'all crazy? Listen, go to our Patreon right now where you will get exclusive content from the No Homo Show, from ad-free episodes, extended episodes, BTS, and more.
So much more. Go to patreon.com/the No Homo Show right now.
It is a choice. So if somebody isn't in a space to choose that, you know, that's okay. You're a human, but I'm not about to fuck with you.
Yeah. Right.
And I've been in spaces with people who, like, I became a target of their mental health. Mm. And it's like, I can empathize with you. I can understand. But if I'm going to set boundaries for myself, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you talk about, like, relationship patterns and, like, people mm-hmm. that they want better, but they keep attracting, like, the same type of people? Why is that?
Yeah. So a lot of times, like, for people specifically who've experienced trauma, if you've experienced a certain pattern, it feels familiar to you. So when you come across it, it's not, the red flag isn't as blaring as it would be if you never experienced it before. So if you grew up in a household with like a mom who was like really verbally aggressive or like really anxious, or you witnessed domestic violence, all of those things, where while logically you know that they're problematic, they feel normal. So when you experience that shit, it's like, I can deal with this because I've dealt with it before. Mm.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
It don't seem that bad.
Yeah. So you're not necessarily choosing this thing. It just feels familiar.
Yeah.
So it's not your type, it's your pattern.
Damn.
It's your pattern. You better cook. And how do you know if a motherfucker... No, motherfucker. How do you know if a... Because some people, I mean, is there such thing like... Are you really just throwed off or do you just got trauma? Like, is there really a difference between it? Because some people, I just can't tell. Like, are you really just throw off or are you just severely traumatized?
It could be both.
It could be both.
It could be both. It's just so complicated. There's no, like, one answer for anything.
Yeah.
There are people that really are just, you know... They might have some type of like cognitive things that throw them off. And then there are some people who've experienced a lot of things in their childhood. And a lot of times when we think about trauma, we think about like something very big. Mm-hmm. Like we think about it's sexual abuse,
yes.
It's physical abuse, but it's really anything that's changed the way that you've kind of like seen the world and seen yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? Saying like knowing your self-worth and understanding that, like, so my mom was like a social worker. I went to school for social work. I really think like, damn, I see the best in people, see people's potential. And I seen, and not to put my mom business out there, but like I seen it in her relationships. Like she could see potential in people. And like mm-hmm. you're a grown ass woman, right? And I was with people that like, I see potential in you, but I'm showing you the world. Like I'm about to be petty, but. All right, I ain't gonna be petty, but basically, like, girls that I know, I can easily show you how you could do better. You know what I'm saying? But then I started realizing, like, for me, I gotta stop seeing the potential in people and, like, be ready to date you at actually having, like, being good from when I met you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we try to see the potential in people and we think we can change them, and that's not our job to do.
Absolutely.
And I was falling victim to that every time. And I think some people get stuck in relationships just like, I know you could do better and stuff, but it's like, if they're not dealing with their traumas and stuff, that ain't for you to do.
And people be delusional about their trauma. Like, I know people who need help and they just swear that they do not.
Yeah.
How do we just cut them off when they get to that level? Like, what is it?
So there's like multiple things here.
We
one, like, with women of color, we're like, the way that we're taught to love is often through self-sacrifice, is that we show up for people no matter what. And after all the times, it's at a disadvantage to ourselves.
That's okay.
And family, everything.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Family
and breaking that cycle, you have to recognize that, like, I can't save you. I can show up for you. I can support you, but I can't save you. You have to make a decision. And if the way that you're showing up is harmful to me, I can remove myself.
Ooh, that'd be so hard.
It's hard as fuck. It really is. I'm not saying you're not going to feel guilty, because you are. Yeah. You're going to feel guilty. Damn. But is it going to feel better to do things that you actually wanted to do versus what you felt like you had to do?
Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy because I just went through that, not to go into detail, But basically, I had to tell somebody, like, you can't use me to get you through these problems. I can help you so you know how to handle it yourself moving forward. You know what I'm saying? But I can't be there every time because you played me before. And you know what? I love you. And I'm tired of feeling played by somebody I love. So I have to say no, but I'm not like just cutting it.
Yeah, those are boundaries.
I can help you.
Boundaries, hello?
I just folded today. I ain't going to hold you. I had to hold them down.
Give yourself grace.
It's so
because
hard.
You probably have more practice showing up for people than you do with setting boundaries. But those boundaries are so important. Like, I'm a good person because I'm a good person.
Yeah.
But there are going to be times when I'm like, no, I can't do that. And there are going to be times when I put limits on what I can do.
Yeah. But you got to, because you know what? Especially if it's people you love, they're at risk. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it, but they're at risk of fucking up y'all relationship forever. And me putting my boundaries there, low-key, is maybe you're mad today, but it's saving us in long term.
Yeah.
This is very general, but I feel like people can relate.
It was something you said earlier that that made me think about, like, Nikki Giovanni, RIP, the poet. She was talking about how... you know, if I love you, like, I'm getting the worst of you. You're going out and you're seeing people that you don't have close relationships with. And I'm, like, obviously paraphrasing. And, like, you can be at work and you smiling. You can be here and you can be cordial. But then when you get home, I get the least of you. Mm-hmm. Because I, for me, it's like, because you know the love is unconditional, you just treat me any kind of way. Yeah. It's like you could smile in Jack's face, Billy Bob's face, but then when I see you, you got an attitude because you know I love you. Right. But I want that too. Whatever energy that you were able to find to be able to like treat these people better, I want that shit too.
Nah, that's a fact. Period. All right, this is a real therapy question. All right, because it might be me. It might be me. All right. So sometimes my wife, she might go through like.
Damn, already?
She might go through a time that she might feel really down, right? But I notice I'm with her every day. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that sees you down. And I feel some type of way when her friends or maybe family hit me up and be like, hey, she's not feeling that good. Make sure she's good. And I'm like,
What do you think I'm doing?
I'm the one that knows she's not good and that's here for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong for feeling that? Because I know I honestly know they want the best for her.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you saying that to me make me feel like you don't think that I know my girl's not good.
Oh, I hate when people tell me this.
Why do they feel the need to communicate that to you?
That's what kind of triggers
me. My grandma do that to me all the time.
You know, because that's why I feel, it makes me feel like you, your grandma... What? We need your grandma
for
it.
My grandma be pissing me off.
But no, that's what makes me mad because it make me feel like you don't think I'm showing up for my girl when really I knew she was that sad a whole week ago.
You get to also have that conversation with your partner like, hey, this is how I'm feeling about this. I don't feel like, you know, people are seeing how much I show up for you because of the way they're communicating with me.
Yeah.
And like those are her relationships. So you can ask her to navigate that in a different way.
That's a fact.
And also, it's like, why do people think, I think you said something about it earlier, it's like, all right, that she is an individual. Why is it like even on me to make you feel better? Like, why are you not asking her, what are you doing for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for yourself to get better? Are you going to therapy? Are you looking at some resources for yourself? Why is it like people look at relationships like that's your crutch?
Yeah.
Like, you got a wife. What you mean you sad? I can still be sad to have a wife.
Yeah.
Or depressed and have a wife, like, really,
and
it's about
her job to support you, but not to get you over that.
Exactly.
Like, that's your job to work on that. But
But people, I think, are so molded with that. Like, if you got a partner that's your emotional support crutch, that's your everything, they're supposed to make you feel better. When it's like, really, you got to do for yourself as well. You can't just be so codependent upon your partner. But that's also going to drain your partner, too, at some point.
Exactly. And also, like, if I'm your partner and I'm swooping every time you got a problem, when the hell are you going to learn how to deal with your own shit?
Exactly.
Like, you need to be able to build resilience for hard things. Life is a series of highs and lows. Sometimes we're going to be happy and sometimes we're going to be sad. And both of those things are inevitable. We need to be able to deal with those things. Healing does not mean, like, I'm happy all the time.
Right.
It just means that when bad shit happens, I can deal with it in a way that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, you need to practice that.
Come on, Book. Look, the book on the way. Come on, right. I got a book on the way. No, it's already here.
For real. You don't have a book or anything.
Not yet.
It's okay. On the way.
Yeah, yeah.
We waiting on it.
So we talking about like communication, right? Can you talk more about assertive communication and like the importance of that?
I think it's so important to be direct. A lot of times people just be like, I don't want to do too much. I don't want to share too much because they question how somebody else is going to see them. But the reality is if you are clear in your communication, you're not asking somebody for anything. You're just telling them what's going on and then they can decide.
Facts.
Like, I'm giving you all the information so you can decide what you want to deal with, how you can show up. And a lot of times people don't want to do that because they feel insecure about not being perfect. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck is perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Who is perfect?
Yeah.
Who is always thinking about things in the healthiest way? You don't have to show up in relationships in a way that is always perfect, healthy, or whatever. But communicating, you can actually make decisions about how to move forward.
Yeah. But, like, being assertive is, like, telling them how you feel, and they might not agree with it, but
you have to be okay with that.
They're also, like, listening and not being, like, defensive on it, too, right?
I mean, you cannot control, like, this is the thing, like, I always tell people, because I do work a lot with people with on boundaries, there are going to be people that hear your boundaries and be like, okay, I respect you, and there are going to be people who don't fuck with it, because now you're taking away something from them that they're used to getting from you. So setting boundaries is not going to be fun.
Yeah, it's not.
You're going to feel guilty.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like you're doing something wrong. So it's being okay with like I know that this is the right thing for me. And regardless of how you respond, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we can do something. We can figure it out together, but I'm not bending on this thing.
Yeah, but and the thing is, like, if you know that's your boundaries, like, and you set them early, you'll clear out. Everybody instead of trying to keep it cute and then 6 months you in love, now they not accepting your boundaries and you done.
And if people think that boundaries is just like, I'm going to tell you how I feel. No, boundaries have consequences. I'm going to tell you how I feel about this thing. And then I'm going to expect you to show up in a different way. And if you can't, then I'm going to change the way I show up.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
So on a lighter note, talking about being assertive and all that, right? I feel like, I don't want to say older, more grown people, right? On their first date, do you got kids with your credit limit? Mm-hmm. Do you got savings? Low-key, it sounds crazy, right? But you knocking all this shit out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do y'all think, like, there's limits to questions on the first date?
As promised, we just dropped our new Patreon page, and you should subscribe now.
That's right. We already got people over there in our newer community waiting for you to join them as well to get all the new exclusive content from the No Homo Show.
Yes, and we got behind-the-scenes footage that you will not see on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We have ad-free episodes, no commercials at all, and so much more, y'all.
Yeah, you should sign up today. I'm talking about you might even come to our studio.
We're doing
guidance from the gay gods.
It's a whole community in there. And if you're not on there, like, what community?
Come on now. You a gaby, right?
Come on.
Come on over to our Patreon.
Make sure you join us now at patreon.com/thenohomoshow.
It's billions of people. Like, you find somebody and you love them, that's amazing. But that's not the only person in the world you're going to be compatible with.
Mm-hmm. There's a song I really can relate to.
It goes,
don't save her.
She don't want to be saved.
I know it was some ghetto shit. I know it was some ghetto shit.
No, you have to learn that.
No, for real.
I used to be trying to save these bitches.
Me too. I ain't gonna hold you. Me too.
She was saving these bitches.
I was trying to build their credit. I was trying to buy them books and some shit.
Authorized user.
Oh, damn.
Now you want the actual credit card now.
Yeah. Nah, you are so right about that. Like, but people be so fearful about just, I guess, missing out that they'd rather settle versus waiting until they get a person that's okay with having those type of conversations.
And that kind of goes back to trauma. A lot of times if you experience certain things, you will take what's good enough versus what's actually for you, what you actually want. It's like, oh, I didn't deal with all of this shit.
Yep.
This is better than what I had, so I'm gonna stay here. Stay. It's better.
That was me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I left... I'm crazy, y'all. Okay. No, because I left a real toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And then there was a girl that was like, showing me everything I would want in the girl before.
And but I didn't necessarily like have too much feelings for her. But I'm like,
yeah, it's better where I was.
Yeah,
at.
Because when you get out so toxic, you feel like ain't nothing better than this. And so when you find it, I automatically like clung to it. And it wasn't
I guess this is what come with it when you get what you want.
Yeah. Like, nah. And then I actually had it's crazy, my bro DJ Knowledge. He was like, he was telling me like, it's crazy because I think when people get older, they think like you just gotta settle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And he's like your time running out or something like that.
But it's actually apologized later on. But he at the time he was telling me like, yo, she's cooking, she's cleaning, she love you. Da-da-da. Like, you should fuck with her. But I was like, bro, everything is there. I just don't have the feelings. But everybody,
a lot of bitches know how to cook. A lot of bitches know how to clean.
The girl, I mean, at the end of the day, the girl ended up being a scammer. I ain't know this. So everything looked good in the beginning. All right. But
her representative.
Yeah. So everything looked like that. So it's crazy because you can find everything you want, but it might be the wrong person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you'll settle for it because I want this, and I guess this is what it gotta be.
Yeah,
but
no, I've literally like left really traumatic situations, and the next person I dated, and I look back now, I'm like, why the fuck was I giving her the time of day that was not my, that was not for me?
Yeah,
but it really. So after leaving something like really traumatic, or really hard for you, you're trying to build emotional safety because that was taken away from you.
Yeah,
and like when you get something that just feels better, feels safer, it's like, okay, I can just stay here.
Yeah,
and it feels more comfortable to settle because you don't know what's out there or what's not out there. But that's where it comes to like trusting yourself that like you can be okay alone until you find what actually works for you.
Yeah. That's what I had to learn. I had to learn how to be okay with myself.
I think that's
my own time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't need nobody here all the time. I'm smoking blood by myself. I'm a little porno by myself. I can get off on myself. I can cook
Brittany,
on myself.
This got deep.
You gotta learn to put yourself first. All right?
You do though.
All right, I want to ask about another type of trauma. And you could correct me, like, but is the word sexual trauma, is that a real thing? Okay, so is there any correlation to if you were like sexually abused as a young person? This is why you're gay, because I do see a cycle in a lot of women and men. They say, you know, I was sexually abused. That's why I feel like I'm into the same sex. Is there any proven thing out there that shows like there is a sure correlation between like if you were sexually abused as a child by the same sex, that may be why you are attracted to the same sex when you grow up?
So like, yes and no. Mm-hmm. So it's not like so the reality is if you are attracted to the same sex, you're attracted to the same sex. However, your sexual attraction and your like being turned on is completely different things. So it can be very confusing for somebody who like, for example, there are a lot of men who wouldn't necessarily be gay, mm-hmm. but because they were molested or like abused by men mm-hmm. that, and it felt good, mm-hmm. there was some type of attraction there mm-hmm. that makes things a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. And then also we got to recognize that like sexual attraction, sexual orientation are very different. True. So you can be like, there are a lot of like straight women that like will fuck a girl, but they're not going to be with a girl. They're not going to be in love with the girl.
True. So like dumb.
when it comes to that, like, for example, like somebody who's been abused by men may like have some issues and some distrust in those dynamics, and they might be more comfortable with women, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be attracted to women in a way that they want to actually be intimate with them.
Right.
Right. So
what about if you had sex at a young age, or if you were molested at a young age, then that means you're going to like young age women or young age men.
When the game tips off, the NBA action is just beginning on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Also heard that as well.
It makes you, I mean, so it depends. So for some people who've been abused sexually, like, you're not supposed to know about certain things at a certain age. So it opens your mind up and you become hyper aware of sex, and that can be hypersexual, or that could be some, or you can be really repressed and not want to deal with sex at all. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends on a person. Sometimes we kind of like have these umbrella things, but it depends. So like I was sexually abused as a child. Mm-hmm. And that made me like hypersexual, and because I was detached, like it didn't it didn't mean anything to me. And for some people, like depending, like I know someone who, when they were abused, the person kind of like gave them favor, like, and now they learned that like if I want favor, then I do sexual favors. So when you're a child, everything is like, you're a sponge. You're taking everything in and you're making sense of it in your child brain. So however you learn how to survive whatever dynamic that is, that's how you move forward. So if you like, so with trauma responses, there's fight, flight, fawn, freeze. Fight is like you learn how to argue, fight back, get away. Freeze, you just, you know, you freeze. You don't do anything. Fawn. You become a people pleaser.
And flight.
Yeah. Wow. Flight. You get the fuck on.
Yeah.
So it really just depends. And that kind of navigates how you show up sexually, relationships, all of those things.
Nah, that makes a lot of sense. And being like hypersexual, but not having the capacity of knowing everything that comes with sex. You know what I'm saying? And then even it's so great because like sometimes we think about kids in our adult mindset, right? But we don't think about like the 10-year-old mindset of like, yeah, this person is sexually assaulting them, but then they're also, like you said, giving them favor. So like, or some kids might feel like, that's my boyfriend, I feel special. And then you look at a kid and like how you ain't saying nothing, but they're in their 10-year-old mindset. They just know what they're learning. They don't know what's right and wrong. So as obvious as it seems, as an adult, it's not that obvious. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, no, it's not. Even with adults, like people talk about like how women like, oh, she should have told somebody, she should have said something. But we have to also recognize that we live in a patriarchal society, and oftentimes women are blamed for how they show up in those situations. And also purity is so important. Yeah. So it's just not that simple.
And talking about like patterns and stuff, like you might have been taught something, your parents been through it that you don't realize it till later that this is wrong.
They try to normalize
and you think
it.
Like, because all right, you're 18, you're 20, oh, you're looking at the maybe not 9-year-old you, but the 13-year-old you that's dealing with a 17, 18-year-old, you're not even realizing it's wrong till you're in your 30s or get some education or people speak up. And that's why when people are like, how can somebody talk about like a sexual assault, try to press charges 10, 15 years later? And I do get some might not be right, you know, but like I could understand why you like you're watching something, you realize, oh shit, I was sexually it might not have been so obvious as like somebody having sex with you, but could
molested.
Have been.
Think about the girl that got like, think about the girl who like had no attention in her home. And then she met some guy, he older, he's making her feel special, making her feel loved. Why would she think that was wrong until later on, looking like, oh shit, I was 15, he was 30. Like, you never got that love anywhere else.
He took you in. It feels like gave a roof over your head.
Yeah. Roomed your ass.
Our brains aren't even fully developed till we're 27 plus.
Yeah.
Damn. So we're having
I
these.
I feel better by myself.
Yeah.
Because I used to.
So we're having these expectations on people who aren't even fully developed and understanding and fully thinking about these really big, complicated things.
Yeah. Because I always want, and I'm sorry to hear that happened to you, but like, when I tell you almost every girl that I dated in the past, they all have been sexually assaulted.
1 in 4. And that's just for people that report.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, damn, is there some type of, because a lot of these girls, they definitely have been. Yeah. So.
But it's not like, you know, it's not unique to queer women. It's every fucking body.
That's so true as well.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's why I said that earlier too. Like, fuck your gender, your race, your whatever. Yeah. We all can relate to a lot of the trauma that's out here.
Do you know how many, like, I have so many guy friends who will be like, yeah, I lost my virginity at 8. No, that's fuck crazy. You did not. You were
8
molested.
Years old? Right.
Yeah, 18
years
old.
And
they make men think that, like, oh, you're a big dog. Like, or, that's crazy.
Now you're a child and you're being exposed to things that you never should have been exposed to. And now you have to navigate this and relationships and all of these things.
Yeah.
And
is all trauma from childhood, or is there such thing as like adulthood trauma? Or from childhood?
No, like childhood trauma is really important because it has such a lasting impact. But anything, like somebody getting in a really bad car accident could be trauma. obviously, okay. Some people go into war trauma, being in a relationship. Like, I have clients who've like had really healthy lives, really healthy childhoods, all the things, till they got in a relationship that was traumatic. So like they've had this really healthy life. So then they meet somebody toxic and they can't even understand it because that wasn't their experience. People be sexual assaulted later in life, robbed, all of those things. All those things are traumatic. So it can happen over any time.
Damn, ain't no timeline on that trauma.
Yeah, it ain't.
And we know somebody, just very general, that has been recently like abused in a relationship, a lesbian relationship. And we see it a lot in lesbian relationships a little. I don't want to say we see it a lot, but it's
we
two
do
girls.
We see it a lot.
Yeah, we do, but
same-sex relationships. Yeah. We be out there boxing like Tyson. Looks, goddamn Jake Paul. All right, my bad.
You went hard. But it does feel a little different sometimes because at the end of the night, it's two girls. But there is somebody like being abusive in a relationship. Do you have any advice for anybody that's like going through that and like couldn't get better? Should you just get out? And are there limits to it? Like,
and is it more common in same-sex relationships versus hetero?
Because I don't know if it's more common. I know that it just exists in relationships. Yeah. But the reality is, if somebody is harming you, they can't, like, they can love you as much as they love you. Not saying that somebody that's abusive doesn't love you. They can't love you in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And you can't save them. That has to be a choice that they make. You have to save yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are in a space where, like, being in an abusive relationship, whether it's emotionally or physically, you start to change. You start to lose yourself. You start to walk on eggshells. You want to keep the peace. That's not living.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much you love this person. You have to decide, how much do I love myself?
Yeah.
How much do I love myself? Because whatever they have going on, they got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Either you're going to accommodate it and be a survivor of it, or you'll get the fuck on.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it's so toxic, but I feel like we can all relate to this, right? Like, at one point,
I'm not laughing at you, pots and pans. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
No, like, let's say you're going through a breakup, right? And the person don't want to break up with you. And they do something crazy to show that they love you.
Manipulative.
In our fucking heads, we're like, yo.
You're going to bat for me.
Yeah, like, you really love me. Like, they'll do something crazy. You're like, damn, I've never seen you spaz out like that.
Yeah.
And something in our head make us feel like, damn, you robbed for me. Like,
That's crazy.
But that goes back to the shit that we normalize.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you really love me, that means you're going to work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not you're going to act the fool now. It's like, oh, and I don't know how
break all my car windows.
You're going to break all my car windows now. Like, oh, you don't want to be here anymore. All of those things. Those things are manipulative and controlling. Hello. If you really love me, you're going to do the hard thing and work on yourself.
Yeah. That shit ain't cute.
It's not, but I'm not going to lie. The younger me was
you got my name tatted. You must really love me.
Yo, it's crazy.
Ooh, you got somebody's name tatted? Ooh. We all have been there.
Hey, I got my cover up.
My cover ups.
I'm about to get a little removal.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, removal.
We all removal different. You feel me? But ask you this. If somebody put their hands on a person one time, should they stay? Should they go?
What's happening? What's the accountability? Like, we're
now, Don't sip now.
Well, it ain't me, motherfucker.
No, I ain't saying it's you. I'm just saying
we're all complicated and none of us are perfect. So when you fuck up, the best thing you could do is be accountable. Whatever it is, I shouldn't have did that thing, whatever. And this is what I'm going to do to change it.
And you know what?
That's forgivable?
It depends.
Because now
it depends on you.
Okay.
It depends on you.
I've been in that relationship before where a person was abusing me, and I told myself that any girl, I don't care if you were drunk
like,
out your
mind.
Yeah,
somebody maybe like, it's a situation, and you're like, hey, this does not fucking work for me. I don't know what you grew up seeing. I don't know what experiences you thought that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You put your hands on me again, I'm leaving. Put your hands on me again, you out.
Okay.
But also for some people, it's the first time, I'm done.
Yeah.
Some people, it's so normal to them. Like for me, I don't like being yelled at. I don't like being cussed at.
Mm-hmm.
If you are like really aggressive in how you communicate with me, that's not gonna work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will like my rule for boundaries is like the first time I'm gonna tell you, hey, this don't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, it's still new information. Let me remind you, this don't work
patient.
For me.
She got
that's
patient.
That therapist in you.
Third time, baby, no, you made a choice. I'm not fucking with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like you said, like the most we see is somebody trying other ways to prove to you that they're sorry rather than being like, you know what? I fucked up and I'm going to work on me.
Yeah.
I think I could respect that a lot more because I'll give you that time. I'm not going to be with you right away or whatever, but like I'll give you that time to work on you and really respect that. But you hardly ever see that. People, it's crazy.
People are so afraid to be accountable, like because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like being accountable. When somebody tell me I'm wrong, I'm like, oh my God, oh,
right.
What do you mean?
It's like, I guess I was wrong. Fuck. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I am going to, after I'm uncomfortable and annoyed about it, listen to you and do better because I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah.
Not, like some people think like, oh, let me just like love bomb you. With the cycle abuse, it's like, let me do some fucked up shit. And then let me buy you something. You can still buy me something, but you're going to have to be accountable too.
Hello. She going to take that bag.
I'm going to take the gift. But I'm going to need it with the side of accountability.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. So last thing I want to ask you personally, is it hard to date as a therapist? Like, do you find yourself like examining your dates like, oh, I see you got some trauma. Let's dig into it. Like, is it hard as a therapist?
I mean, it is. It is hard. And I don't always think about it as me being a therapist, but just... But I guess it does have lots to do with it because a lot of the things that I know is because I had to study it because I'm a therapist. But it's hard. Like, the way that I want to communicate, the way that I want people to show up, like, it's hard because I see that shit from a mile away. You're not about to manipulate me. You're not about to do certain things that might fly with other people. And then people hold me to a higher standard. Oh, you're a therapist. Bitch, I am not your therapist. I am not your therapist. Yeah. I don't have to give you grace.
Yeah.
I have standards.
Yeah.
This shit don't work for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not saying that you're not good or good enough.
Yeah.
You just not for me. So it does make it, makes it very difficult.
So like, first of all, are you single? Or?
I'm single.
Okay. Ladies! Yeah.
Hello.
I'm healed. Don't, willing to change.
Hey, don't slide in them DMs if you ain't got it together.
Hey, look. Healing not healed, okay? Just show up as you are, take accountability. She might fuck with you.
So as like where you are in life and being a therapist and stuff, do people have to kind of meet you on your level? Or are you willing to like, you know, address things? And
I mean, I'm a therapist. I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. Yeah. Like I got my shit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's important to me is that somebody is willing to be accountable and do better.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to me.
Yeah.
Nah,
that's dope. I feel like we could bring you back every like quarter.
Yeah, we're gonna need some more therapy up here.
I feel like just relationship stuff, and even though this is the no homo show, and we talking about like gay relationships, I feel like anybody. But we won't be trying to tell the straight people like these secrets. This is our fucking world, all right? But they're welcome to listen if they want. And I feel like they could take a thing or two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we realize we all can relate, you fuckers. You straight
people. I guess we all more like each other, whatever.
But
I have one more question. I'm sorry. I thought I had one more question. And then I have one more question.
I hate you.
Okay. How does someone mentally deal with their family not accepting that they're queer?
Dang, she went deep with it, right?
Because we're blessed to have family that accept us.
Yeah.
But a lot of people from our viewers and our supporters, they be like, yo, I'm 36. I'm still in the closet. Like, I could never come out and be how y'all are. So, like, what advice would you give someone that's struggling with that mentally? Because that is a lot on your mental.
Yeah. You have to be okay with grieving. Because there's only, like, there's only certain type of relationships you can have with people that don't accept you fully. And... like, it's no easy answer for that. It's you're going to have to grieve that the relationship that you thought you had or the relationship that you want does not exist.
Grieving the relationship with your family.
Yeah.
Basically, so, like, you're losing it and being able
snip,
to.
Snip.
Yeah. Are you still saying, like.
For some people, like, so I'm not going to be like, ooh, just cut your family off. Because for some people, yes, cut your family off. For some people, you fuck with your family how you can.
Yeah.
You got to look at what is my capacity to deal with people who don't accept me for who I am and how does that work? Like, you really have to be okay with acceptance and grieving. This is as much as I can get out of this relationship because expecting anything else, you're signing yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. So it's like, am I going for the holidays if I can bring my partner and that's important to me?
Yeah.
Like, you really have to think about what am I okay with? And then also working on your family. Hopefully, like, for some people, their family come around eventually. But some people, their family don't come around.
Yeah.
So you have to really be like, if I die today, would I be okay that I didn't live my fucking life the way I wanted to because grandma didn't give, because grandma didn't like my, like that I was gay?
Right. Grandma ain't even here no more. Squabble up. Squabble up.
No, for real. Like, I, the way that I live my life now is like my aunt died recently and I was just like, I hope she enjoyed her life. Like, I hope she lived her life. Mm. But for me, like, if I'm like 60, 70, 80 years old, am I going to look back on this shit and be like,
right,
okay, I did that. Yeah. Or I'm going to be like, damn, I wish I did something different.
Yeah.
So this is your life. We don't even know how long we're gonna be here. You gotta live that shit however you wanna live. That's it. And I'm, there will be people that love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like
it's hard, but it is what it is.
I'm thinking about that all the time. Like, I know all you women back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, Loki and men too. Loki was attracted to the same sex and y'all had to settle because of what was the norm out here with 8 kids.
And then I always think about like context. Like, I don't be that mad at my elders when they don't accept queerness because I know that that's just been drilled in them.
Yeah. Right.
It's been drilled in them. It's not necessarily like they actually believe this shit. They think they're supposed to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I don't have to fuck with you because you don't respect how I feel.
Yeah. And I also think like when you're talking about like older people, like there's also like you can have a respect for them by like, let's say my respect for you is not bringing my spouse mm-hmm. around, but it is. Maybe not being as intimate around you, like making out in front of my grandma. Like,
that's
nah,
why,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Or being like, I don't give a fuck.
Give your grandma a heart attack.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna be like, there's certain levels of respect.
And then you can, if you're uncomfortable, you can leave.
Yeah, hello?
Especially once I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Okay. You can exit.
And then it's also just like, I think at the end of the day, it might take, like you said, it might take people time to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think if somebody really loves you, they'll want to see you happy.
Yeah.
And it might take some time. They might need their own time, whatever. It's one thing, like, if you're dating somebody toxic, just in general, and they're not fucking with that person. But if it's like, yo, everything about this person is making you happy, you're very selfish to not eventually.
That's a lot of my family think I'm still in the phase. I'm like, girl, I've been out since 14. Get over it.
Yeah. You know? That's what.
Nah, that's dope. We appreciate you. I feel like you dropped a lot of gems.
You and sure
I
feel did. Like
I appreciate you.
Relationship.
I hope you helped our gabies out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a folder where I just like write relationship questions as like they appear online or in my life, and then we're gonna bring you back and go over it. Because I do you really unlocked that like most of the things is ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And either we accept it or we don't, or we're working on it or we're not. And
yeah, the one thing I really want to leave with is, like, you as you are is enough.
Yeah.
Like, the way that I show up, I am not fucking perfect by far, but I love myself. I love the shit that I need to work on, and I love the shit that I've been able to work on. And it just is what it is.
Yeah, and I guess being real with yourself to know, like,
yeah, you gotta be honest. Perfect.
I got some things.
Like, damn, bitch, you need to work on that, but, like, I still love you.
Yeah, yeah, facts. Thank you so much. We appreciate
you.
Y'all, she's single. Can they slide in the
DMs?
Don't
waste her motherfucking time.
I mean, that part.
Hello, she ain't here. She ain't come to play.
I can already tell. Don't waste her motherfucking time.
Damn.
And she got a survey for you to fill out.
You like studs or don't matter?
It don't matter.
Oh, we might have to put her on a...
Let's put her on a blind date.
Let's
be thoughtful.
I love that. Thank you.
Whole lot of gay shit. Whole lot of gay.
Hey! Boss Britt. We certified. And DJ XL.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.